Still have closure, sorry, not in, no conflict, sorry. this is actually just sort of in conjunction with my earlier presentation, because as part of the H3 endeavor, we are trying to create new services, new learning, and new educators through this process. As I showed you earlier in terms of the numbers of clinical groups and faculty, this is probably one of the most challenging aspects of my work today. I mean, picture me, I was visiting my son in Los Angeles and we were having lunch in a restaurant and I'm standing on the sidewalk hiring someone on a cell phone because somebody had to step away for, I mean, it's nonsense. And so we're looking to stabilize that. And so part of this presentation is about that. But back to my earlier presentation about H3's mission and vision to improve the health of Marylanders everywhere, especially those who are most profoundly affected by the disadvantages of life. So we, as a commitment in our H3 endeavors, we'd like to enhance the nonprofit health capacity with faculty practice. We want to build new educators using our own graduates and retiring nurses as well, as they transition into clinical teaching roles and can be mentored by faculty in practice, and then generally offer new learning opportunities for all. I just want to come back and say that it's actually the belief of our faculty, and it has been formally adopted by the Community Public Health Nursing Program, that all of our clinical work will be a service learning model. This is not new to anybody here, but the notion that we manufacture experiences or create assignments that are simply academic exercises is a thing of the past. They are actively embedded in real life experiences, and they are not to be generating projects and programs and activities that don't actually serve the people of the communities in which they're located. I just had a recent experience with a clinical group who one of the members was focusing on oral health for his final paper, and great, definitely a huge need in the community, but I leave them alone to sort of say, here's your community assessment, you know, you're working on the community assessment, and then you're going to think about what program you're going to develop. And I was out of the room and I came back and they said, so we're going to focus on oral health in children. And I said, well, that's great, but is that one of the five priorities you identified from your community assessment work? Silence. No. And you can close your eyes and you can imagine, A, he was the one guy in the room, and sorry guys, but you know how it is. There's still that tendency, and he's a very strong personality. He has an MBA and has come into nursing, and so he's used to doing this. And so he decided this is what would be a great idea. It would be a slam dunk because he's done all this work already and so forth. And I said, so you're going to have to go back and reconsider your community assessment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I left the room again, came back. Well, we've changed our minds. So they are now grappling with the fact that the number one issue in our town, in our neighborhood, sorry, is trash. And they needed to do something about trash. So again, then they said, I think we'll do a cleanup day. And I said, great, but in what way does that reflect your public health nursing knowledge and skills? And this is a rare opportunity for this community to have the time and talent of all of you focused on their needs. And is that basically the best you can do? Well, I have to tell you now, they have taken on a fabulous storm drain project. They're working with a community artist. They're developing all kinds of resource materials linking environment and health. And we're working closely with the children in Pigtown to bring this to the forefront. So it's their creativity has expanded a little bit as a result of all this. It was a great opportunity for discussion. But this is happening in a lot of our clinical sites, and we need to ensure that it happens everywhere. These are the challenges for creating the kinds of experiences for our students that we would like to have for them. The healthcare system today is not in great shape. We have to rethink where students go for their clinical and practicum experiences and how they undertake their work. we have to look at agencies' capacity. I think Ellie's statement is true, capacity to take on students. Our health departments are beyond bare bones operations. And so how do they also take on student clinical groups? And that's a constant challenge. And also, I said earlier about the limitations in our public health departments in terms of the level of PHN requirement for leadership roles. And so there aren't the kinds of practice exemplars that we need to have for our students. And again, and Ellie also demonstrated the fact that we need new models of service and education. So we are focusing on working differently. We're working with human service agencies and becoming a part of their work, and then also asking faculty to create unbound clinicals where they may have a conference room in an agency, but it doesn't necessarily become all about that agency alone. Again, our opportunities. The School of Nursing has had faculty practice in place for some time, but no surprise to anyone, it mostly focused on nurse practitioners. We really believe that community public health needs to be out there, and so we are expanding that concept for community public health nurses. We have a faculty member at the State Health Department. We have Dr. McLean, who's here in the front row, working with the Baltimore City Health Department, Office of Healthy Homes, and we have others. We have social service and other agencies seeking to offer health and wellness to their clients with nobody to help them do that. That is how my faculty practice was created. I served on Paul's Place Strategic Planning Committee. They really wanted more health and wellness, so they built it into their next 5-year strategic plan, and whoops, so who's gonna carry this out? Then they were really excited about creating a faculty practice opportunity, so it's been great. Because when I come, I don't come alone. I bring graduate students, and of course I continue with my clinical undergraduate students. Again, we focus a lot on the movement toward place-based initiatives. And again, I'm making a plug for Tony Hiss and his work on the experience of place. But we have to help everyone understand that we are all part of a community and it matters. And again, the creativity in our faculty is unbelievable. And the minute you begin to open up the door and encourage that creativity, ideas that are way beyond my thinking come to the forefront. So these are who we see as our potential new clinical faculty to create new opportunities for service learning. Our own graduates, and I'll say more about each of these in a second. Retiring nurses, of which I will be one before too long. Nurses in practice settings. That's not a new group, but we want to use them differently. We're calling them the PHN Service Learning and Leadership Circle, and that there are 5 arcs to this. One, we talk about the fact that faculty must be socially embedded in the communities they serve. They have to be a trusted member of that. And when I say community, I use that term in the diverse way all of us do. But you have to be known, trusted, have the connections, and can spot the needs and the opportunities. We have to work on developing our clinical faculty as mentors for new faculty, so that they don't just go off and do their own clinical work, community-based work, that they take new faculty under their wing and help guide them in this process. We recruit new faculty with a focus on new master's grads, newly retired nurses, and nurses in practice. We hold clinical faculty workshops, and we provide new services and service learning opportunities in community settings. We reach out to our graduating community public health nursing students, and I will add, I always love slides because it makes it look so neat and tidy, and it's not. But I want to say that it is really exciting to see what some of the students are now coming to us and saying, I'd like to teach sooner or later, but I'd like to do that. So again, we're raising graduate student awareness in the practice education roles, that joint role. We're encouraging student enrollment in the Teaching in the Health Professions Institute. We have two, Dr. Jenkins and Dr. O'Neill, who run a post-certificate program in Teaching in the Health Professions. And we can then, when they do their practicum experiences for that, we can take them into our clinical groups. We facilitate graduate students practicum activities as foundations for entry-level service learning opportunities. Students who do their two semesters of practicum work sometimes do amazing things, and it translates into new clinical opportunities, clinical education opportunities after they leave, and I'll say more about that. And we provide, we have to provide appropriate clinical teaching guidance and mentorship. So we reach out to retiring nurses, not just our new graduate students. We are networking with clinical agencies and other SON School of Nursing faculty for this. And we are developing a legacy leadership model for nurses. Again, this is in process. And we're talking about that here at APHA as well, because if we were to go around the room and say, how many of us are spotting retirement within the next 5 to 7 years, I'd say there'd be a number of us. So there's possibilities. We recognize the wealth, knowledge, and skills of our colleagues using this model. This is an evidence-based model that was developed by the Center on Aging at the University of Maryland College Park, offers meaningful roles, and it offers a role with reasonable time demands and flexibility, because after all, that should be one of the perks of retirement, that we get to go take a vacation in October or April or one of those things and go visit our grandchildren or go help out and so on. So, and then we're reaching out to practicing nurses, and we're doing that through our faculty members who have practice arrangements and to our clinical partners and bringing them in as faculty associates. So these are our experiences to date. We have a number of our graduate students who have in fact become clinical instructors. In the Upton Green Initiative, it's a neighborhood unbound public and environmental health clinic, clinical. Karen Russ was a graduate student who went on to take the teaching in the health professions certificate program and moved on to become one of our clinical instructors. She has a very unique and very special knowledge and skill base, and we're thrilled to have her. Our Daily Bread is a nonprofit agency serving essentially homeless men, and we have a graduate student who did all of her practicum work at Healthcare for the Homeless and then went and joined with one of our established faculty members who had a clinical at Our Daily Bread, and now they are jointly providing clinical experiences in that agency, and our longstanding faculty member served as a mentor for her. How do you know it's really getting successful? She's ready for her own clinical site now. She's like, okay, Kathy's got this one nailed. I want mine. So she's going to be creating another brand new site. The Pediatric Asthma Initiative is a very special endeavor. Lakeisha Flagg was one of our most outstanding graduate students. She finished last December. She was doing a joint MPH, and she had one more semester in her MPH program. She created, as part of her graduate work, a partnership with the Pediatric Emergency Department at the University of Maryland Hospital, and their number one reason for children's admission is asthma. And she began working with them, and we gave her a graduate student and a clinical group. And she worked with them as a team and has created this really wonderful linkage between the Pediatric Emergency Department, the Baltimore City Office of Health Department Office of Healthy Homes, who has funding to do home visits for children with asthma, and they didn't know each other, these two entities. And now the next step in that is working with primary care providers, et cetera. And that is ongoing, and I want to say that Dr. McLean, who's sitting here, has taken the lead in that, because unfortunately Lakeisha not only graduated from her MPH program, she's in the Army, and she's now the Director of Public Health Nursing at West Point. So we feel she's a great success, but we lost her, and she had a hard time letting go of this one. Paul's Place Health and Wellness Program, where I serve in my faculty practice, but I've had several graduate students working with me, and they have begun to make noises about, maybe there's positions there. It is very exciting, and some of the folks that have worked with me have gone on to practices with some of our Paul's Place partners. Be More for Healthy Babies campaign is a Baltimore City Health Department campaign that is underway to reduce infant mortality. And one of our current graduate students is going on for her PhD in our program. She's very interested in becoming a clinical instructor. She also is a public and environmental health community public health nurse. And so she is going to be moving forward with that and will be developing a clinical based on her practicum experience. And finally, the CareLink in Anne Arundel is a program. Some of you, is there anybody from Connecticut, you may be familiar with the CareLink model. Yeah, you know this, yeah. It's a wonderful model and I want to give full acknowledgement to that. But one of our faculty became aware of it, embraced it. Anne Arundel County is a very large county. Annapolis is its center city. And she asked a graduate student to work with her as part of her practicum in exploring the CareLink program and to develop a translation to Baltimore kind of, or translation to Anne Arundel County opportunity. And not only did she do that, but it has become one of the richest clinical experiences for our students. It is focused on the department of, a partnership with the Department of Aging. They create ID badges, they track all the home visits that those students make, they do a cost analysis of what it saves the Department of Aging because of the work of these students. It's really incredible. And so again, we continue to have both graduate students and entry-level students working on this. We have two groups working there. But it was the graduate student who launched this. Faculty experiences are, we have three. I told you about the CareLink in Anne Arundel. We have an H3 at St. Jerome's Head Start in Pigtown. And we have Sandtown Winchester Healthcare for Families in Transition. These are all basically public health nursing centers embedded in other agencies through the faculty and students. And they are moving toward faculty practices. Again, these are practicing nurses as clinical faculty. I do the work at Paul's Place, the Baltimore City Health Department Office of Healthy Homes. Dr. McLean has a faculty practice there. And we have a former graduate of ours in the Howard County School Health System who teaches another course for us and will become one of the faculty associates that we're hoping to have. So the last message I want to make is the one I made earlier, which is social embeddedness is the essential for success, being a part of the social fabric of the community, whatever that community may be. And for our new faculty, that has to mean being a part of the School of Nursing community, as well as the clinical communities and organizations. And a lot of our faculty are contract faculty. They're contract clinical instructors. And we have to make a very deliberate effort to make them a part of the School of Nursing community. And that's not the easiest of tasks, but we have some very specific strategies in place to do that. So it's a work in progress, and we have to continue to refine this. We are really working to codify this and measure the impact of our work on all of those that we're focusing on, and also focus on defining the service learning effects of this work. We now have our faculty tracking the services that their students provide, the CareLink model being one that is most effective because they track it not only in terms of the services provided, but the cost of those services. And then, and finally, we want to look at exploring new methods, roles, and settings. Thank you.